Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hey everyone, it's Michael. If you haven't heard, we have just launched the new Union Pro Mentors program where you can take office hours with pro players from top leagues, get world-class coaching, do mindset workshops, have video breakdown sessions, get help with college recruiting, join parent education portals, and so much more, all exclusively for goalkeepers. So be sure to join Union Premium risk-free to take advantage of all there is to offer. Go to unionsports.com/join or the Union GK community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks again for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to a very impromptu Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from Richmond Goalkeeping Academy, where Keeper Wars is taking place literally right next to us, to the right of us right here. With me at Richmond Goalkeeping Academy, we have the one and only Amanda Forrest, who is the director of Richmond Goalkeeping Academy. We got Samantha Leshnack-Murphy to the left of us right here, who I would say is another brainchild of the Richmond Goalkeeping Academy's events, would you say by now?
Yes, we worked together for 6 years, so some things that she has is mine, and some things that mine are hers, so it's a good partnership.
By the way, I love this right here because I feel like a child, like a parent who's like holding the ice cream cone for their child.
He can just bring it away at any time.
Right there. Oh, and we have joining us all the way, very far away from, where are you staying right now, Marissa? Are you in Raleigh?
I'm in Raleigh,
North Carolina. We have NC Courage goalkeeper Marissa Bova joining us as well. We actually, your first Keeper Wars experience right here, right?
It is. With RGA, yes.
Okay. With RGA, okay. Yes. So you've done Keeper Wars in the past before is what you're saying.
Yes. Camp Shutout, got to plug them. Have a great Keeper Wars thing they got going on.
They got some crazy games going on. Obviously, yeah. Amanda, you've been out there as well, too.
Oh, yeah.
Stan's game.
Oh, yeah.
Such a crazy stuff with, like, the paint going on. I don't see any paintballs being sprayed out here.
The county told us if we did that, they would charge us about $5,000 in fees. So we declined.
Okay. and by the way, guys, feel free to look into the camera to the entire world right over there.
Hi, everybody.
Everybody. Nobody has any idea that we're doing this right now. So it is crazy out there. So first off, guys, obviously we don't have a lot of time right here. Why don't you just kind of, Amanda, break down what Richmond Goalkeeping Academy is for people out there who might not be familiar.
Yeah. So Richmond Goalkeeping Academy was founded in 2008 by myself. I started with honestly just five clients, and I was in corporate America and just coaching on the side. And I was a former player myself and retired in the early 2000s. Just wanted to keep staying around the game. And honestly, just people just kept coming by referral. And long story short, we grew and grew and grew. And I had a kind of a big life event happened in 2017. I woke up to an unfortunate phone call. My brother had passed away in a car accident. And 3 months later, his son was born. And his son came on the field with me a lot and coached. And I became a primary caretaker to him. And I had to make some life changes. Corporate just wasn't working out. And goalkeeping was a lot more fun. So the rest is history. We've grown from there. And then as you can see, we have the charity event. That's something I did to help initially get through the holidays. And it just grew. And it became, honestly, the whole RGA family coming out and just growing this and supporting this. And it's so awesome. But we are an elite goalkeeping academy here in Richmond, Virginia. We're also in Charlottesville, Virginia, and Virginia Beach, Virginia as well. And, you know, honestly, it's just not about developing elite goalkeepers here at our RGA, but we really also focus on developing the leader on the field and off the field as well.
And I think you also focus on people learning how to do the twist, it seems like.
That's
going on. The DJ
is dance.
The DJ is doing the twist. Samantha, can you do the twist?
She can dance.
And you know, it's a little older than like
my generation a little bit. But
it's older than her. Man, how old do you think Amanda is? Jeez.
I'm forever young. I stopped counting at 25.
Oh my gosh. Well, guys, today we're going to be focusing a little bit on just in regards to like what was going on with the clinic yesterday. Obviously, Marissa and Sam and Amanda helped put some of these session designs together. Marissa, this was obviously your first time doing this with Richmond Goalkeeping Academy. What was kind of your basis for the sessions that you put together?
So I had like a game like drill that I provided and,
You're good. You're good.
and so the focus of the camp was crossing and like 1v1s and like blocking, shape. So I like in my game like drill, I just added like kind of all of that together. There was like a cross in the beginning and then they had to come across and then it was a make a save, get up quick, is breakaway, and make a decision on whether they hold in the, whether they hold in the goal or not. So I kind of just built my goal on like what are my, sorry, my drill on what like the goal of the clinic was to accomplish.
We can fix it in the editing. I mean, it's only live, but whatever. So it's totally fine. Really quickly, and by the way, guys, feel don't wait for me to ask her a question. Like, you can talk anytime. Amanda, I know you know how to talk, so it's totally cool. You can do that whenever you want.
It's a goalkeeper thing.
Exactly. Sam, obviously, you've been involved for a while here. You've been helping out with the session designs. Like, kind of, what's your kind of like your methodology?
My methodology?
Yeah.
Here, you can hold the whole game.
Thanks. Hold the ice cream cone, Sam.
My methodology of goalkeeping. I could second what Marissa's saying. And of course, Amanda and I have gotten along for so many years now just because we think goalkeeping is simple. There's a few things you have to do. And even with the modern goalkeeper nowadays, using the feet and the hands, distributing to a tee and being able to play off your line, it's like you have to do all these things. But we try to make it simple.
Yeah.
And we love incorporating game-like activities. I think it's maybe simple for you to just hit a ball at a goalkeeper and do stationary things. And it's another level. It's another notch to do game-like things where Marissa was saying multiple actions and asked a lot of the coaches and the goalkeepers. So we like to stay in that stretch zone as coaches.
Yeah.
I go ahead, Amanda.
I think there's a lot of goalkeeping coaches and we all started there. I started there when I was younger. Sam and I were talking about this as well. Like when we started, we took what we loved from our favorite goalkeeping coaches that we learned the most from. And, you know, the game's evolved and, the modern day goalkeeper is a real thing. You and I played back in the day, we were the island, you know, and now the goalkeeper is a part of the 11.
Yeah.
There's so much that we add to it and it, you know, from a leadership standpoint to playing with our feet to, you know, in possession, out of possession, you name it. And so we try to incorporate that as much as possible for the keepers and get them to think.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. Get them to think and not just one thing, but to think multiple actions. How can we train their brains to be switched on and feel like they're in that game-like environment? So we focus a little bit on the technique when we come into our sessions, and the rest of the sessions is topic specific, game like, trying to help connect that dots, you know, stop, explain, put them in the moment, and then have them try again, and just embracing failure.
Yeah. And by the way, anybody who's tuned into this live impromptu like this, if you guys have any questions for Richmond Goalkeeping Academy or any of these goalkeepers and goalkeeper coaches, I'll call you a goalkeeper as well too. I guess I can still be a goalkeeper. I'm playing men's league right now. You know, that's still goalkeeping in a way. But feel free to step in and add those into the comment section right here, and we'll get to them. Marissa and Samantha, I want to ask you guys this, and maybe Marissa, because you've got the microphone right now, you can add on to this right here. But like, you all are in the professional environment right now. Obviously, you're playing in Europe right now. You're playing in the United States, both at the highest of levels right there. When you get back to the grassroots game like this, what are you trying to share with them that they may not be familiar because they're in a different environment?
I'm sorry. Can you?
Okay.
Yeah. Just teaching the kids, you know, coming out of our environment, coming to the kids, and you know, I'm not trying to tell them everything that I've learned and experienced over the multiple years. A lot of times, it's just one thing mentality wise, and another thing, maybe a little tip or two. on the field. But mainly for mentality, I mean, sometimes as a goalkeeper, I'm sure anybody watching this, it's easy to get down. I mean, there's a lot of discipline. There's a lot of training that you do as you're growing up, and you can get discouraged. So it's always great, especially in an event like this, being encouraged and encouraged to grow through it. You know, how could I have changed what I did to make the save next time and learn from other people, but also bringing to the kids, you know, my correction would just be, you know, last night we did 1v1s. And I love 1v1s because it is a lot of mentality. And so I was teaching them not so much like the technique, but more so act like a cat. Like you go from a launching point low to go through the ball. You know, it's just something experience-wise that you give to them that maybe they could see differently. So I'm not trying to change what Amanda's doing at all.
No.
It just adds a little bit extra to it that maybe it helps the kids.
And honestly, I love having Sam and Marissa come out there because, you know, I'm, 18 years retired. You know, you guys are in the game and you're seeing things that even as a coach that I don't even see. I need you guys. I need you guys there to add a perspective that
she literally does need you guys. I've seen how much work it takes to put something like this together. There's no way one human being can do this.
No, like, and I'm grateful for all of you guys helping, honestly. I mean, could not do this without you. But, you know, it's a different perspective. And you know, I've learned in my coaching and the way I founded the academy is I want to give my kids the closest experience to being around these pros, mm-hmm. to get the advice from them, but get the mentorship and the coaching because I know they want to be there one day. And when I was younger, those 99ers did it for me in my local hometown that played on the pro team. You know, I called them the girls of summer. And, you know, honestly, I wouldn't be where I am and have what I have. And that, you know, I call a spirit of gratitude and appreciation if it wasn't for them in that sport. And honestly, it's what that's the secret sauce to what we do here at RGA. Yeah. It's more than just goalkeeping. But it's giving them an opportunity to start their coaching careers in whatever capacity they want. And it's all full circle.
Yeah. I actually really want to add on to that before we bring some of these sessions up there right there. You just brought up the 99ers right there. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, you guys are a little bit younger than Amanda and I.
Yep.
You went and saw them in regards to that. So, by the way, for some of you guys who are watching right now, you're probably wondering, like, where's 99 World Cup winner Saskia Weber? She unfortunately had to be with CBS for the expansion draft in a nice, lovely studio with great craft service. But shout out to all the wonderful volunteers who brought all that amazing food over there.
Yes.
I would rather have
that
than everything, all the posh, bougie stuff they have at CBS.
You're not going to talk about the donuts?
The donuts are amazing. If I want to give a shout out to, is that Diablo Donuts? Is that
Diablo Donuts.
Diablo Donuts.
Yes.
So
thank you, Palmgren family and Diablo Donuts family for that. That was very good. You like the Cinnamon Toast Crunch,
Cinnamon
right?
Toast Crunch was solid. I liked one.
Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah,
of course.
I got the Fruity Pebbles one, and then another one I was peppermint chocolate.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even try that.
Tis the season
one.
For
Tis
peppermint
the
chocolate.
There we go.
Marissa, anything you want to add before we move on into actual these sessions? Right
to answer your question that you had asked,
yes,
I didn't answer it.
Good.
I just think, like, as a pro, that like obviously, like being a professional, like the intensity is just so much higher, and I think like emphasizing intensity and focus, like, to younger kids is like what's going to help them be successful. So just having them switched on, making sure that they're locked in, like, I just feel like is just so valuable, and it helps them focus on every, like, we did a lot of we did, like, how do you say it, like activation for crossing yesterday, and I think just having them focused on those movements, like intensely focused on those movements, helps them be more intensely focused on them when we get to like a game like drill.
Yeah.
So
speaking of that, I think I'm just going to put the pictures up here so the audience can see what the heck we're talking about. First off, this is called jogging. I don't know if anybody else out there is familiar with this technique of goalkeeping. It is called jogging up and down. So Amanda's very thorough. Let's just put it that way.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
I took offense when Bushy told me like 5-6 years ago that I was more organized than some organizations. And I did take offense to it. I was like, what does that mean? And he's like, no, it's a good thing. So I'm finally learning. Thank you, Michael.
Of course.
5 years later.
No problem.
I believe what Bushy says. Bushy.
By the way, shout out to Bushy. I got your six right here. You guys can see my shirt right over there. HPG right over there. I'm waiting for the Venmo in the mail for that, Bushy.
He wants me to send that royalty.
He wants you to send that royalty right there. Okay, Samantha, you kind of did a lot of the demos yesterday. So let's walk through this right here. So what do we got going on here first?
Well, you can see it's warm up.
Way to be specific. There
Captain
we go.
Obvious.
But why did you just choose these certain dynamic movements?
It's getting the body warm, and then it's the hips, it's the legs, the front and back, and then there's some arms here at the end. It's just all the stuff that you would use. Sometimes when you're driving around, I don't know, you might, at least for me, sometimes I'll feel something in my back. So sometimes it's good to just get everything, hit all the bases. And it just teaches the kids just something good for the next years ahead, like 5 years ahead, because your body changes and it's good to have all these things, because they might not need all these things as young kids, but it's good.
I love what you just said right there, because that's such a true thing, Marissa. Obviously, I'm sure you know this, you know, going throughout your career from, you know, a youth player, you know, to a college player, to professional player. You know, when you're 9, 10 years old, do you really need dynamic stretching? Probably not. You could probably literally leap onto the field. But to develop those habits and that discipline early on, and to understand the why of why you're doing it, it becomes routine, it becomes habit, like brushing your teeth, and then you don't think anything about it.
Well, it's a little more than that. So leadership is what we teach a lot of these goalkeepers, and it's owning their craft. That's what we're trying to teach them at the youngest age. Own it here in practice, and also own it at home when you're not with us in your spare time.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the biggest things that we do is it's their responsibility to start warm-ups. We have the cone set. They have to step up and lead. And if they don't, one of the things, or they're nervous, and that happens at this age, one of the things that we do is we select somebody who it, you know, maybe there's a little bit quieter. That's something that John Bush taught me a long time ago, to get them out of their comfort zone. And you know what's so amazing is some of those people that you've met over the weekend, like Mitch Palmgren is one of our rising seniors. He used to be one of those people that wouldn't speak two words, so we'd pick him every time. And now he leads the group. And that's the other component to the leadership and the personality, trying to help them get that out.
Yeah. I love what you just said right there in regards to that. Samantha, was there something you wanted to add on to that, or you're good? She's like, no, you're good. You can move on. Okay. So we're going through these things right here. Marissa, what were some of the things that you noticed? Obviously, first time at RGA last night doing that clinic. What were some of the things you noticed during the warmups before we actually got into any of the activation phases?
Well, something that really stood out to me with RGA as a whole, like Amanda made this clear from day one of when I was talking to her before the camp even started, was that their kids are super respectful. They look you in the eyes. They say,
yes, coach. No, coach.
And I mean,
I felt like I was in the military.
I know, but I loved it.
Am I supposed to give them push-ups? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. But I just think that's so important. Like my parents always told me, look at your coaches when they're talking, and like say, and like I look around, my friends are like fiddling with their feet, and I'm looking at my coach. I'm like, and now like when I coach, I'm looking at those kids that are looking at me, and like they're listening to what I'm saying. And so I don't know. From the warm up, I noticed that like from the get go.
So you know, me being a college coach, that was like the biggest thing that I would go when I would come to ID camps, and I'm here to recruit. I can't tell you how many kids, I know you're nervous, but what I respect most is when you come up, even when you're nervous, and you still try your best to look me in the eyes and shake my hand, because that shows me you're trying. You can grow through that. And that's something that we teach our kids here is, hey, listen, we know, and it's okay, but it's not gonna be like this always, but you gotta confront it, or the fear will get worse. And I think that's the biggest separator. And you know, we talked about recruiting a little bit here. You know, when it comes to recruiting, you can be a great goalkeeper. You can make the big saves, whatever. But if you don't have the personality and leadership, how can I trust you to walk in and lead my team?
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. And I just want to add on, I think Amanda is brilliant in this, because when she talks about leadership, it's leadership within the individual too. So I wouldn't be the player I am today if I didn't respect my coaches, even if they were yelling at me or if they were stretching me in some way. If I just, you know, just turned my head and was like, no, like I know better, I would not be the same player that I am today. I am, I mean,
all you know is what you know.
Right.
You need somebody else to push you past what you are going to do by yourself. And that's what makes you a great player.
Yeah. I mean, everybody wants, and I think one of the things that I learned from all of my mentors in the game is everybody wants to be seen how you present yourself in a certain way to be seen. But in actuality, it's your actions that speak louder than your words. And the actions are what keep us accountable to our words. They have to line up. And I think that's the biggest lesson that we try to, in the reality is, you know, I learned this from Eric Steele, is you're always, no matter what the age, we're training them for success, whether they're going to play collegiately, play pro, or be a functioning human being in this world and make an impact. We're setting them up for success. And those life lessons, it's as simple as you kick a cone, you mess up the drill, go back and fix it. Don't just walk past it. You see trash on the ground. I love this. Dan Anderson. I want to give him a shout out.
I feel like you're picking me out. Okay, like I was like, picking, like no, I left fine, like trash on the field.
No. I'm not picking you out. But I'm saying like,
she's like, next time you see trash on the field, I expect you to pick it up. No. Sir.
My favorite, when Stan Anderson brought me in for camp shutout, yeah. I was telling you the story the other day.
Yeah.
Cece, who you had on the other day. Yeah. I respect that girl. I remember her being there. I remember her being the only one to walk around picking up bottles. Now nobody told her to do that. And it's who are you when no one's looking? Because that's when people are looking. And I love that. And I love that about Camp Shutout. I just wanted to put that plug in there. Stan is phenomenal. And Stan, thank you so much for your generous donation here for our silent auction. But, you know, those are the leadership qualities we want, because what Stan's teaching, what Bushy's teaching, you know, and here at RGA, it's that. It's to get noticed, is to be the separator. So like a guest comes in like Marissa, she's like, wow, you know, this is an awesome standard to have.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's another standard level of excellence more than goalkeeping. But the goalkeeping excellence, it's there too. We had fun group one last night.
Let's get Marissa a little bit more involved right here. Cause I feel like she's been sitting there. She was like, I got one question asked earlier. I didn't know what to say. And so they're just like,
sorry,
let's move
Marissa.
On from her.
Up, all right.
She's just going to be there hanging out in the background.
Hey, listen, he touched on leadership. I launched. Forgive me. I'll tone it back now.
It's all good. It's all good. Let's go a little meat and potatoes, as Bushy would like to say. Talk about things that you don't know. This high ball activation was sick, in my opinion. And sick is something that we say in California when something's good, for those of you guys who are not familiar out here in the Northeast. Talk a little bit about this high ball activation, because I really want to share it with everybody here. I thought it was really awesome.
Yeah, this is something Eric Steele came in.
Marissa! Marissa!
I'm sick. Sorry. Forgive me. I thought you were just talking in general.
No, she hasn't
said
it.
Sorry. I'll listen.
Okay. I actually have never done this before.
Okay.
And when I saw this on like the drills, I was like, wow, that's actually pretty cool. Because I don't know, so, like even now, sometimes I'll like stutter step or something, and just watching the kids do it, they're being really intentional about their steps and which knee they're driving up and where their hands are starting from, and focusing on getting power towards the ball, catching it in front of them and at its highest point. And like we were talking about how like when you get to game-like drills and we're doing crossing, like it's easy for younger kids to just play the drill, but I feel like when we were doing activation like this, it like really emphasizes like those movements.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Samantha, I mean, obviously, you know, we were talking a little bit about this yesterday, cause I was just so excited about it and everything like that. And obviously, you know, you've helped with these kind of these movement, like kind of activations and things like that. Why do you think it's so important to incorporate these within your session design before you go into phases?
It's like ABC. So if you're trying to teach something big, like a 1v1 or a cross, anything, it's better to dumb it down. It's better to start it in steps, especially if, I don't know, if somebody is less athletic, break down the steps. If somebody is more athletic, but they're super explosive, break down the steps. So it literally was ABC.
Right.
Yeah, I love the fact that you didn't stare right directly at me like Amanda did about the trash thing, when you're like, it's less about those people who are less athletic. Now I feel better about myself. Less and more.
You're doing a great job. You can do this.
Thank you. I have a throat lozenge in my mouth.
Do you want another donut?
I actually, you know what? I need to eat. There's shout out to the taco truck who's here.
Yes,
Quinto Sol is here, guys. If you're here right now at Keeper Wars and you're checking this all out, I know the parents division's going to be starting up very soon. I'm very excited to watch that. I am not going to lie.
Yeah, my boyfriend started that tradition last year.
Wait, is he playing in it?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it's all for charity.
Okay.
Or I think it's actually a great thing because it's going to help parents, in my opinion. They're going to have fun. Yeah. It's all for the right cause, but I think it's going to humble them a little bit to help them see a different perspective, if you know what I mean. So, you know, from the goalkeeper standpoint. It's a lot harder than it looks.
I want to talk about this right here because we're going to go into this forward lunge activation and the side lunge. Marissa, I want you to add on to this because you guys played this thing called the Sesame Street Big Bird Challenge, not the Sesame Street Challenge. The Big Bird Challenge last night, which is a 1v1 game. And both of you, absolutely fantastic. Awesome. But the discipline that you all showed in your 1v1 shape, I wanted a lot of the young players to see that out there. And these types of activations teach them to be disciplined in their shape, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, like the split stance too, I think is really important, just like depending on which post your near side is. But also like something that I struggled with in my development of this shape was my hands. You emphasized this when we were with his group.
Yeah.
Like, yes, the ball's going to my left hand, but I also need to have my right hand up because the ball could go there and I need to have my right hand up. And like, it's hard to react when we're in that close of range.
Right.
So I just think that's so important to focus on in this activation.
By the way, it's funny when you said that, when you're like, when she was over here, like, because the thing was, is that it was so funny because you were like, act like, you know, like no one's watching type of thing. And all of a sudden, like, I turn around and look and like Amanda had been watching all my coaching points. And I was like, oh, I hope I'm getting invited back. I hope any of this makes sense whatsoever.
We were waiting for you to demo.
Yeah.
We wanted to see you do the splits. Yeah.
But then you demoed and you did the splits.
Oh, dear. I have my turfs in the parents game. I don't know. That could end.
One parent said that they pulled their calf. So we do need you to fill the spot. One game. You can do it, Michael.
I'll have to warm up.
We got plenty of help.
I got
all my
Theragun. I got foam rolls over
there.
Hold on.
I need Lainey.
Hey, Lainey, Michael Badgett is going to be subbing in for the guy that pulled his calf.
Oh, my.
There you go.
Okay. Oh, dear.
It's live. Everyone watched it.
Oh, boy.
We're holding you accountable.
But I have to do these shows. How's this going to work here?
You got this.
Okay. Let's talk about this kick save activation, Sam, because the thing is that, like, this was a question that was asked to me by one of the young players yesterday, and I thought it was a very profound question, and it's understanding that they're coaching themselves, really, which is, I always want to kind of, you know, create autonomous goalkeepers, as I'm sure you all do too. When you're playing at the highest of levels, it's about what's closest to the ball to make that save, right?
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, okay, so if a ball is, the problem a lot of times with, like, with a young goalkeeper is, like, they're like, oh, I'm supposed to, a ball is being hit, I'm supposed to be 1v1, I'm going to use my hands, but my foot is the one that's closest to the ball. Well, obviously, reaching out with my foot is going to be the right action in that moment, but a lot of times they'll think about the drill and say, oh no, I'm supposed to go with my hands type of thing.
Well, you're right, but you're also maybe wrong. It's just like there's no right or wrong answer, really. It really just depends on the situation, depends on the strength of the individual. We just give them tools. So all of these things are for them to do, be disciplined about, be coachable, and then if it works for them, fantastic. They'll keep working on it. But if it doesn't, if they'd rather go into a 1v1, maybe a little bit more hands-oriented and can guide with the hands, great. These are all just tools, and so we just ask the kids to be really coachable. But I agree with you, too. I mean, I was telling my kids, you know, ball's on the ground, it's close. You have to go from a low shooting point. So, yeah, of course, for me, I would do a foot save on here possibly unless they give me more of the ball. And then maybe I go for the opportunity to get the ball with my hands.
I mean, I think you just brought up a really good point right there. And I think that is about the intention, right? You know, I think one of the problems, Marissa, you know, and you know this playing at the highest of levels, both of you playing at the highest of levels, is that no one goalkeeper is the same. It's just like a snowflake type of a thing, right?
Right.
So, like, no, I mean, but it's true, though, because the thing is that, like, if everyone's profile is different, whatever's effective for that goalkeeper is the right decision.
Yes, and also I just think there's a lot of different ways that goalkeepers can be coached. And, you know, yes, physically they're different, but also they've had coaching that's different. So, I don't know, from like a young age, it could be taught one thing and, yeah.
Yeah, I would just say it gives us confidence as coaches because if something works for us, we could be we can be persuasive because it's convincing because they could see us do it, mm-hmm. but it's all just tools.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm totally distracted by the fact that Vanilla Ice is playing. I feel like I'm back at my bar mitzvah.
Hey, I got honestly 5 minutes before like, right? We got to pull out over here and warm up.
Okay. So, yeah. Amanda, so then let's go on to these technical drills here. Are these consistent drills that you do at RGA, or was this just for the clinic?
Time and place. You know, some are new material. I try to bring new material every year because I want it to be as relevant as possible to the game. But I know the majority of these kids, I know what some of their biggest struggles are in the game, and I want to tailor to that. So, you know, some drills are more advanced, but we kind of talked on this last night in our wrap-up meeting. You know, we want to expose even the youngest, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-old that comes to our clinics to the same drills that our top-level high schoolers are doing, but obviously with modifications so that they feel successful because they're experiencing very similar, maybe not as fast-paced, you know, scenarios, but we want to give them a very similar experience to start prepping those good foundation or prepping a good foundation for the future, if that makes sense. Yeah. So,
you know, speaking of that, you know, Marissa, one of the things I noticed about a lot of the young goalkeepers yesterday was that they were very disciplined in regards to their prep touch, as opposed to just kind of like just touching the ball and then trying to make a decision then. You know, how important is it at the highest of levels that your prep touch is in a place where now you're going to be successful on that distribution?
I mean, it is like the most important because those forwards are fast and they if you take a touch that is like an inch too far, they will get to it. So, yeah, that's something that I've definitely been working on a lot in my first 2 years of my career. So I think, I think this drill was great for that. So,
yeah. Sam, obviously, you know, with you playing, you were saying, you know, something really interesting in regards to the fact that, like, you know, some of the grassroots stuff you've seen in some other places that you've played outside of the United States has been a little more announced service, a little bit more micromanaged. Why do you think the game is changing in the United States versus in other places?
Great question. I just want to say that I've had some phenomenal training in the U.S. I mean, I was part of the youth national team system, and they've had phenomenal coaches that would work super hard on, you know, handling and then your footwork and just these details. And then in college, I went to UNC. I had Chris Dukar while I was there. And just these games that were so game-like. And I think that was really instrumental for my development. And then going over, so I played in Iceland and Sweden, and just to look at what they've got and their systems there. One, I think maybe it's resources, but also, you know, I don't know too much. I think it really comes down to things like this, like having podcasts and coaches and just getting around people that are having success. I think that's such a thing in the United States. Like, we shouldn't take that for granted. Know that you're in a great place. I mean, being outside of the U.S., I mean, makes you really appreciate things like this.
Right.
Really helps everybody.
Right.
You know, that's really interesting. You said that right there. You know, Marissa, obviously you have players, you know, in the league here, the domestic league, the NWSL, that are from all over the world, outside of just the United States. Do you still think there's a stigma out there about the American goalkeeper?
Like that goalkeeper exists, or just
that the American goalkeeper is more of a hand-eye coordination, handball type player, doesn't really understand true football?
I think it's changing. I think it's changing because of places like this and coaches like this.
Thank you, Marissa.
Yeah. I think it's changing. I think it, you have to play in the top league, you have to be good with your feet. You have to be like brave off of your line. You have to be aggressive and own your box rather than just be a shot stopper.
Yeah, I'll say this. I'll make this statement. I'm proud making this bold statement, but I think the U.S. is leading in the goalkeeper department all over the world. I think that wholeheartedly.
Especially
in the
air, female
distribution,
side.
The standards, the intense training, the game-like stuff. Sure, we're not perfect, and the U.S. goalkeepers like are the ones on the block for what we see, but I think we're leading in that department. I really do.
Yeah.
It's really interesting that you just said that, Sam, because obviously yesterday, Matt Turner in the Nottingham Forest game, you know, there was a situation where there was unfortunate, a goal that was scored, and the amount of vitriol I've seen on social media based on that, I was like, if that was a UK domestic goalkeeper, if that was an Italian goalkeeper, if that was a Spanish goalkeeper, would there be that same type of vitriol? I feel like there's still out there a lot of people out there in the world who are still trying to nitpick and try to find every excuse to comment on why we can't play at the highest of levels, you know.
Right.
You know, and obviously in you know, Nottingham Forest in the men's game, that is a very high level. Let's get back to these drills real quick, because I know you guys got to start
wrap up right here.
I want to talk about the fact, Amanda, you've got so many combined actions here, and I love the fact that in all these drills, and shout out to Marissa and Sam for helping put these drills together, they all were compound actions that were game-like, as in, like, it leads from the cross to the quality distribution away from the pressure to then loss of possession, a shot on goal, to potentially a slip ball for a 1v1. How important is it for you, and how long did it take for your goalkeepers, and by your goalkeepers, I mean goalkeepers that were unfamiliar to the Richmond, you know, Goalkeeping Academy environment, to get used to not training in isolation and doing these game-like type activities?
Well, if they're training with me consecutively, it's a couple months process to transition, because, I mean, it's like, you know, going from low-level club to ECNL or to MLS next. Speed of the game, the accuracy, everything changes. And so it's an adjustment for them. And we give them that room to fail forward, if you would. But, you know, Sam and I years ago had a just heart to heart one day and just catching up. She was asking me how the academy was going. I was picking her brain about things when she was at NC Courage. And we were talking about, you know, about drill creation and game like and how important it is to relate it to the game. And I think she had been talking to Nathan Thackray, and she asked Nathan, you know, how does he come up with all of his session plans? And he's like, well, I watch a video. Was that right? Yeah, he watched a video. He would watch game like film and action. And I'm like, that's the way it should be. And, you know, I try to keep up with the trends that are going on in the pro leagues, whether it's in England or whether it's in the NWSL or MLS, but also what's going on relevant in this national platform. So these are some of my girls' academy and girls and national level ECNL boys that I train in Charlottesville. And, you know, it's going and watching at showcases and games and film. What are they experiencing and how can I connect the dots? And, what's relevant in their game? What type of crosses are they seeing? Is it on the ground? Is it on the air? And then if they have a blunder and they drop the ball, what typically happens next? So I'm trying to get them with as much familiarity of those things so they can think and they can get the game experience mentally. So when they're setting up in a game-like situation, they can plan for those scenarios. They've had success in a game-like drill in my practice over and over and over again. And even if they failed, they know how to do it, and they're gonna have success at some point. It's all learning and development.
Yeah. So,
does that answer your question?
I mean, in a roundabout way, absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding. By the way, there was my favorite thing is the first night I was here is Amanda starts going off, you know, talking goalkeeping, let's just say. And at one point, Sam just goes, Amanda, the man needs to go to sleep. He has not slept in like 2 days. Let him sleep. Let him sleep.
Y'all were just rolling. You were talking about all kinds
Michael,
of things, and it was cruising.
Michael.
And I was like, wait, we have to sleep, though. We have tomorrow.
Okay.
You know?
Michael, I'm not taking the fall of that. You were talking just as much.
I know, because I did not know. I did not know what I was dealing with the next day.
And then Saskia was blowing you up about who are the best goalkeepers overseas. And then we were like, Sam Leshnick Murphy. Come on now. And then we just kind of ran from there, you know, just it was a tangent on a tangent.
It was amazing. I mean, that was the best thing. By the way, shout out to Saskia. I do want to say this right now. Shout out to Saskia, obviously, for donating the gloves from the TST tournament last year with the U.S. Women or USA Women was the name of the 7v7 team. That
That's awesome.
Competed. By the way, for those of you guys who are unfamiliar, they competed in a group bracket with all men's teams. There were no other women's teams in that bracket. This coming year at TST, we'll actually have a women's bracket. And I think because of the fact of how USA Women performed in that. So she donated some gloves for the silent auction right
Saskia.
Here.
We appreciate it.
Autographed as well as some other things. We got a union annual subscription and a signed hat by myself and Saskia in this whole bundle.
You.
Why don't you talk a little bit about the charity before we wrap up
and
the silent
a couple
auction
of minutes,
and the raffle here.
Start championship stuff here, but and the parents, we don't want to miss that.
Yeah.
So yeah, my brother passed, and I mean, I think for anybody that's extremely hard. John Bush is I call him affectionately my big brother in goalkeeping, and he's definitely been there and filled a gap. Some of my other mentors in 2018 just recommend, hey, look, you know, the holidays are hard. Why don't you find a way, like go to a soup kitchen, find a way to give back. And I was like, I'm not feeling that. And I had about 13 goalkeepers regular training every month with me. And I went to them and I said, what do you guys think about a Keeper Wars tournament? Everyone was, oh my gosh, yeah. So I, rest is history. $2,500 raised that year. We gave to the Virginia Power Soccer Organization, which is for children and adults that are wheelchair bound that play power soccer from a wheelchair. And we bought their goalkeeper a wheelchair. It was really cool. You know, it was just $3,500 the next year, $7,000 the next year, $10,000 the next year. Last year was $14,000. I know we just hit our goal, actually, not too long ago, hours ago. Yes, we're over $9,000 and it's still coming in. And I'm just, you know, I'm super grateful because it became a me thing and the kids caught on it. It became a we thing. And you know, in this sport, so many of these kids are so blessed. I worked 5 jobs growing up and I biked to my practices. My parents did the best they could and I appreciate what they could add, but I had to fill the gap. And I think, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, being thankful for what you have and what your parents do for you. And, you know, some are, and some are still learning how to have that gratitude. And I wanted, you know, it went from giving back and it's still that to how can we include all the kids and the parents and their siblings in our shopping trips? Cause we shop for all the gifts for the toys, for the kids. We're $4,500 of that is going to go towards kids. We were spending Christmas and the holidays in the hospital this year. And we're donating to SHUD $1,500. They're a local nonprofit who actually help go into inner city schools and properly fit them with running shoes and track spikes. We refilled a food pantry here locally. And we did, $2,500, I think, at the food pantry, if I'm not mistaken. And then last year, we had so much money left over. I was able to do a scholarship in memory of my brother. And it's the Nate Forrester Memorial Legacy Scholarship. And I'm kind of glad we're doing this show because it's my next step in January is to reach out to a bunch of the clubs here in Virginia and let them know that we have this scholarship available to a soccer player, no matter what their position is in the state of Virginia. We have a scholarship that will help fund their soccer dues if they were to suddenly lose a parent, God forbid, or parents or a primary guardian. And we pay up to $1,300 of their dues. And if we have more, obviously we the extra, the leftover will go to fund more and hopefully pay for a year's worth of dues. And yeah, so.
I mean that's amazing. And it's a really solid way to kind of wrap all this up. By the way, Amanda, when you talk about all of this and giving back and everything like that, the fact that Sam playing at the highest level, Marissa playing at the highest level, not only came here, helped out in regards to coaching at the clinic, helping out with the Keeper Wars here, but they also took the time afterwards, after a long day, Marissa, driving all the way out here, setting up fields, coaching. Afterwards, everyone's exhausted, everyone's tired, but you still took the time to stand there, take pictures, and do autographs. Why is it so important for players at your level, both your guys' levels, to give back, take the time to chat with those players, take pictures with them, sign their autographs, all that?
I think it's so important because, you know, like, especially as a female in sports, women's sports is growing right now, and I just think, like, when I was that age, yes, I knew U.S. women's national team, incredible, but I just didn't know, like, it was possible that to be a professional in the United States, a professional around the world, like, and, like, make a living out of it as a female, like, so I just think, like, showing what's possible. I mean, I was one of those kids once, too, and, like, it would have just been amazing to meet somebody So, yeah. And also just like giving back to the kids, because like it's part of the reason why we do it, you know?
Yeah.
Just set an example, like, yeah.
And you know, Sam knows this, and I told Marissa this when she came in, Casey Murphy. Thank you, Casey Murphy, for connecting all of us. And Sam connected us with Casey. And I'm very particular who I bring in, and I want to make sure they're a good role model and they implement our core values and are an example for the kids. Because I think there's a lot of people out there, and I'm sure you guys can speak to this from your personal experiences as well, that they have this great accomplishment to play pro, but they make it so much about them instead of the next generation. And what I learned from a Saskia Weber and the 99ers is that humility of, it's not about me. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for the little girls at home, the little boys at home that are coming behind me. And, you know, I bring them in because it's not about me. It's not about promoting my company. It's about them inspiring every one of these kids out here last night and today to keep chasing their dream and dream bigger. And I wanted them to have that experience I had when I was a kid, where I got to go up and ask them questions. I was that annoying little kid around the pros, but they were my big sisters. And I, you know, I want that, you know, to be the same here. I mean, I know Marissa's new to the family here, to the RGA family, but Sam, everyone knows Sam. Sam's coming. The world stops when Sam comes into town, you know? But it's based on the relationship she's had with those kids through the years. And she's still... I love Sam. I'm sorry. No offense, Marissa. Sam, the kid's coming. Sam commented on my Instagram post, my senior pictures. I'm like, that's, you know what? That's what it's all about. You know? So,
yeah.
All right. I got to wrap up here. I got to head out, but.
Really, really quickly, you know, Amanda, just really quickly, just sure. For people out there who aren't familiar with where they can get in touch with Richmond Goalkeeping Academy or the charity, where is the best place for them?
Yeah. So if you go to our, and I think you have a link or that you're
posting. We do. So we have a link on the Union app.
Okay.
And, I'm not going to plug it right now because that's not what this is all about.
Sure.
But the thing is that, if you are on the Union app or if you want to find out more information, obviously you can go to contact at insidethe18media.com, guest suggestion, topic suggestion, or at Goalkeeper Podcast on the app, and I'll send you all the information.
Yeah.
The
Instagram.
We have that there. And then also you have a website that shares everything, right?
RichmondGoalkeepingAcademy.com. If you hit the drop down, click Keeper Wars. We have our GoFundMe on there. It's not too late to donate if you feel led to, and if not, no worries. Feel free to reach out and connect. Probably won't get back to you till later next week after I have a little bit of rest. It's been a long last few months prepping for this. We're on Instagram at Richmond Goalkeeping and on Facebook at Richmond Goalkeeping Academy. And if you want to connect with me, I have a professional profile on Instagram as well. It's Amanda Diane Forrester. That's long, but... Cool.
Actually, and if you're on the Union app as well, too, I believe that you actually have your own personal profile and a business profile that we're going to get it. We're going to get it set up. We'll start getting some content out there. We'll start getting some sessions out there. But
absolutely.
But you've got a personal profile. I think
I do.
It's Amanda Forrester. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's probably that or Amanda Diane Forrester.
Okay.
I can't remember. Forgive me. I'm sorry.
No worries.
I just want to say before I head out, you know, thank you so much, Michael, for putting this on. I know we've been in and out and I'm being pulled in a million different directions, but we definitely appreciate it. Sasha Weber, thank you as well. And everybody who supported us, Sam and Marissa, I couldn't have done this without you guys as well. And I really appreciate everything you've done to add to this here.
Marissa, anything you want to say before we sign off, or Samantha?
Just thank you for having me on here. And thank you, Amanda, for bringing me in. Such a great environment. It was my pleasure to be here. So,
and by the way, we'll share all their contact information in the show notes, guys. So if you want to know how to reach out to Sam or Marissa, we'll do that in the show notes right there. It's going to force you to actually have to download it as opposed to just watch the live stream.
Right.
That's the incentive right there if you want to be able to connect these people right over here. All right, guys, that's all the time on Inside the 18, and we're out.
Thank
Later,
you.
Guys.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle.
because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your crave.